You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to open with a clip from John F. Kennedy. Some of you may be old enough to remember what he sounded like. I think this clip will give you a good idea of why he was killed. And certainly, it's obvious that there is no such thing as freedom of the press in the mainstream media, because if that were true, there is no way that the ineligible one, a Muslim by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, who produced a birth certificate on April 27th of 2011 that proved he is the ineligible one. His father was a Kenyan. His mother was a year short of being able to transmit natural-born citizenship. If there were any freedom of the press in the mainstream media, such a thing could not happen. But listen to this clip, and then I'm going to play a bunch of other clips, because there are people that should be heard if we're going to walk soberly and circumspectly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition. And both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. And it means that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security.
When we conclude this, I want to go into the real direction that we should have. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And when we get down to the time where we know it is the Antichrist war on the saints, anybody that thinks they're going to turn it around is not thinking biblically. They're not thinking straight. They're not thinking logically. I'm not saying to lay down. I'm saying get the warfare where the warfare needs to be. You don't go to the top and think that you're at the top when you get to Obama or Obama's puppeteers, the oligarchy that controls America. You're not to the top there. You're not even to the top when you get to the Antichrist prince. No, you're not even to the top when you get to Lucifer, the god of all these oligarchs who are control freaks. Lucifer is the god of control freaks. He's the father of lies. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The first commandment of Lucifer's Ten Commandments is to kill 93% of all people now alive on planet Earth. We're headed for war. We're in the middle of the worst economic crisis of all time. The people that we need to listen to are the prophets in the King James Version Holy Bible by the Holy Spirit of Truth. We need to hear from God.
Yet there are people
who should be heard regarding the truth of what this Obama becoming president, while it's legally impossible, it's still a fact that though this is not a legal possibility for Obama to be president, he is president. What does it mean? Well, we need to walk soberly and circumspectly. But people like Alan Greenspan, Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma, Webster Tarpley, a tremendous historian, Gerald Clientes, George Humphrey, Obama himself, Bush himself, the Bushes, the Clintons, even Eisenhower, Ron Paul. We need right direction, and that must come from God. Direction like this, Zechariah 8:16-17, great memory verses. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. 365 times God tells us to fear not. There are fearful things coming on this earth, but this is the time where we have been blessed to live the revelation. Yes, literally live the revelation. We will choose faith, or all we're going to be left with is fear and hopelessness. There is a way that we can be more than conquerors, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And in this time, while I'm not advocating to lie down, I'm certainly not advocating rebellion. And I'm certainly not advocating anyone think that this thing can be turned around before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But that's the real bottom line. When you see these things come to pass, don't think about rebellion. When you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But these things still need to be heard. So I'm going to let you hear. I think you'll get a better understanding just hearing these things. And these are important things for you to hear. But at the conclusion of this, I want to give what David Wilkerson had to say. And I want to give some sound direction in the way that we should go. Fight covetousness for all that you're worth. Be prepared to share. That's how people made it through the Great Depression of the 30s. Nobody had anything, but whatever they did have, they wanted to share it. They really had a heart to share, and that's how they survived. And unless that heart attitude is developed, this developing a heart attitude of rebellion will end in destruction and hopelessness. But nevertheless, you need to hear these clips.
Politics in America today is identical to pro wrestling. And what I mean by that is, in front of the cameras and the public, we all hate each other. I'm going to kick my opponent, I'm going to wail him from here to high water and beat up on him. Yet behind the scenes, we all have friends going out to dinner. And it's all a work. It's showbiz. And that's what you have today in politics. The Democrats and Republicans aren't really opposed to each other.
Obama is a cruel hoax. He works for Wall Street. He's an agent of finance capital.
Where did you come up with the number $700 billion? Here's the Treasury spokeswoman's quote. It's not based on any particular data point. We just really wanted to come up with a really big number.
A few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no.
I don't think anyone questions, Mr. Kashgari, that you're working hard. Our question is who you're working for.
It's pretty obvious that there's some gigantic financial institutions that have been pulling the strings of politicians in this country for a long time.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere. Maybe under here. Nope, no weapons over there.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
People that are knowledgeable know that the fight that this country has been waging since its inception is for the central bankers not to take over the country. And that's why people like Andrew Jackson were elected. And that's why people revere people like Thomas Jefferson and others. The takeover's happened. And it's a corporate takeover. And it was something that Abraham Lincoln warned. And this is, by the way, why I believe he was assassinated. This is the Lincoln quote. The money powers prey upon the nation in times of peace and conspire against it in times of adversity. It is more despotic than monarchy, more insolent than autocracy, more selfish than bureaucracy. I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned. An era of corruption will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the Republic is destroyed. Wall Street has killed Main Street.
So I know how unpopular it is to be seen as helping banks right now, especially when everyone is suffering in part from their bad decisions.
Up until about the Kennedy assassination and the beginning of the war in Vietnam, the United States is a very powerful engine for world progress. It's the assassinations, the Kennedy assassination, and the others in the 1960s, the beginning of the Vietnam War, and the beginning of the absolute domination of the Wall Street Group over every other interest. Nobody else counts except the Wall Street money masters. That has now made the United States into no longer a force for progress, but something very different, often a force for destruction in the world.
The military-industrial complex has taken over the country along with the Wall Street gang.
If you look also at the people that Obama has put on his appointments list, it's all Wall Street. It's government of Wall Street, by Wall Street, and for Wall Street.
There's nobody from heavy industry. There's nobody from the auto sector. Nobody from Silicon Valley. Nobody from big oil. Nobody from defense. No labor, no women, no retirees, no small business, nothing. It's pure Wall Street. The only people who have a voice in Obama's councils are Wall Street finance oligarchs. That's all there is. Nobody else counts for anything under Obama. It's the most extreme Wall Street administration we've ever had.
Whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
Dwight D. Eisenhower, he warned the people that the military-industrial complex was taking over the country.
Now, Kennedy was brought in as somebody who was expected to be a puppet. It was thought that his pro-Nazi father, Joseph P. Kennedy, the bootlegger, the speculator, would guarantee that Kennedy would be obedient to the establishment, but it turned out that through his personal suffering, Kennedy had discovered a personal sense of himself which went beyond just being a puppet, and he began to think about things like economic recovery, world peace, having a space program, making deals with the Soviets, cutting the Federal Reserve down to size, and a whole series of other things. The last time you had an actual president was Kennedy. The other thing about the American presidency you've got to remember is that this is a puppet post. It's automatically going to be a puppet post. The idea that Obama is somebody who's going to come in and exercise real authority when he's obviously been chosen and given everything that he's got by these financiers, they give him the money, they give him the bundling, they give him vote fraud, they give him the media. They give him goons. They even have elected officials making threats to put people in jail if they criticize Obama in public. All of this is the mark of a puppet, and that means that he is a puppet, actually more of a puppet than anybody else, more of a puppet than Mrs. Clinton would have been, even more of a puppet than McCain. He's the maximum puppet that we've had, certainly since Jimmy Carter. You've got, obviously, the Bilderberger Group, founded by the former Nazi Prince Bernard of Holland. You've got the Trilateral Commission, founded by David Rockefeller's Zbigniew Brzezinski. They're the ones who ran the Carter administration. Everybody in the Carter administration, from Carter and Mondale and Volcker and Brzezinski, were all members of the Trilateral Commission. The way in which they make policy and rule is that they are a polycentric oligarchical system. You have to be a finance oligarch. Remember, this is not a society ruled by generals, not by bureaucrats, not by demagogues, none of those, but by bankers. Bankers rule, and the bankers set up these institutions. They set up things modeled on the Royal Institute for International Affairs, Chatham House, and the Milner Roundtable of the period right after the Boer War, so even before World War I. You had the British setting up these roundtables, institutes, with publications and conferences, and this is how they make policy. When you look at the U.S. ruling class, you'd have to say that they're a really pathetic bunch of failures and bunglers. They are a miserable excuse for a ruling class, and that's one of the big problems we have, is you go from Clinton to Bush to Obama. What stays the same is the ruling elite that gives these puppets the orders that they act on, and these orders are wrong-headed, let's say, to say the least. They're basically bankrupt. They're going to lead to the collapse of this civilization. What they're doing is using the existence of the United States as a formerly powerful nation state to act out their Wall Street fantasies of world domination and maintaining their capital structures and maintaining their system of looting. And this can't be done. So the basic question is, they've hijacked our country.
I mean, can't we, Wall Street has hijacked Washington in broad daylight.
Every single one of his appointments support the status quo. Every one of his appointments are there to screw the American people. Every single one of his appointments are people who are working to bring down the Republic and the Constitution of this country.
How could people be so stupid and gullible to believe a bunch of political people?
So people who voted for Obama were trying to express, I think, first of all, something worthwhile. The hatred for Bush, Cheney, the neocons, the desire to punish the Republicans for their adventures, their police state, and their economic depression. The second question was on the economy. People felt that Bush was
selling them down the river into a world depression. He is, of course, the new Herbert Hoover in that regard. So they were trying to get something different from that. The tragedy, of course, is, and this is really why Obama was groomed and prepared over a period of almost 30 years now, that Obama is there to frustrate and to deceive all of those hopes. Obama is a cruel hoax. He's a bogus sham. He's an absolute denial of everything that you'd expect from an American president. Obama is notoriously a liar. He promised that he would get out of Iraq, I think within 16 months at some point. We had Samantha Power telling the Scotsman that he wouldn't be bound by those promises, and sure enough, he's now not going to be bound by those promises.
When he first ran, remember, he was going to take the troops out. I get in there, troops come home. Day one.
There is no military solution in Iraq, and there never was. I will begin to remove our troops from Iraq immediately.
And then that went to 16 months. And now he's going to add, they're saying, another 30,000 or more troops to Afghanistan.
The outcome of this policy is if you're constantly meddling near the Russian borders with these fascist creeps, IMF NATO agents like Yushchenko of Ukraine or Saakashvili or Georgia or these Kaczynski twins in Poland or various collections of people in Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, you're tied to these gangsters, and if they decide to start a war, that rapidly escalates into thermonuclear World War III. This is worse than the neocons. Bush and Cheney never got as far as Brzezinski, Soros, and the other people running Obama.
He said that he was going to bring us peace in the Middle East. He said that he was going to bring us transparency and a balanced economy. He said that he was going to not have lobbyists. He said he was going to clean up government. He said he was going to work for the environment. And point by point by point, within the first month of his inauguration, he has lied and deceived and cheated the American people.
They don't know. They think that he signed off immediately on closing Guantanamo, but he's allowing prisoners now to be taken to foreign countries and not knowing where they're sending them and to be tortured in foreign countries. They don't know that they kept that provision in there. Obama voted for a reinstatement of the Patriot Act. And by his early deeds already, again, as we saw with the issues of retention, he's willing to send people that have been charged with nothing to be tortured to so-called get the truth out of them.
What gets people upset, and rightfully so, are executives being rewarded for failure.
AIG, Bank of America, and Citigroup, which have received billions in bailout money, don't fall under this plan. Only banks negotiating future agreements with the government will be restricted. But this appears to be built on an honor system, and White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs had a hard time explaining how enforcement would work.
Well, I will get clarification from Treasury on that.
Generally speaking, this is already the biggest liar and the biggest disappointment that we've seen in recent history. And again, qualitatively beyond the rather low standards set by Bush the Elder and Clinton in terms of delivering on promises.
They'll make up one lie after another. And if you believe these people, knock yourself out. I don't believe a word they say.
A lot of people think that the Federal Reserve is already part of the government. They're not. It's controlled by cliques of unelected, unaccountable bankers meeting in secret. Most of these people have never even been through the formality of a Senate hearing or a Senate confirmation. They claim that they're part of the U.S. Government. They masquerade as if they were part of the U.S. government. But in reality, this is a purely private operation. Jackals, hyenas, raptors, all of them loyal, not to the American people, but to the Wall Street banks, which is where most of them come from.
1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. Floor of the House, where three members of Congress were on the floor. At that time, they only needed a majority of votes to pass it. So in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. 20 years later, 1933, under Roosevelt, the United States was declared bankrupt. And in 1933, the Federal Reserve private bank says, okay, USA, what are you going to pledge as collateral on the debt you owe me? What happened by 1936? Does anybody know? We instituted Social Security system, and you and I and our children's children were pledged as collateral on the debt of our government to the Federal Reserve. And that's where we're at today. It took 20 years to make this country bankrupt, and since then, our government has operated under emergency powers of our government. It is not the president that makes the decision in this country. It's the Secretary of Treasury who turns around and is put in there by the Federal Reserve to manage the bankruptcy. We've been in bankruptcy ever since. So to print $700 billion and to give it away, how do they get away with it? The manager of the bankruptcy is told by the Federal Reserve this is the way to go. That's where we're at today.
In 1913, the money power of the country was taken away from the people. By constitutional privilege, it belongs with the Congress, but it was given up in the Federal Reserve Act. The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express, but yet it has the power to determine the direction of use of money in our economy. If we could take that power back and put the Federal Reserve under Treasury, we start to be in a position of being able to control monetary policy on behalf of the United States people.
Greenspan is saying the Federal Reserve is beyond the law. And in reality, they are in practice beyond the law. Nobody, as far as I know, has ever audited the Federal Reserve. One of the first things we ought to do when we nationalize the Fed is go in there and find out the audit. Who stole money? Who engaged in corruption? There's a whole series of people going back to Volcker, to Greenspan, to Bernanke, and so forth. Since the founding of the Federal Reserve back under Woodrow Wilson, the Federal Reserve has struck out three times. They didn't stop the crash of 1929. They didn't stop the banking panic of 1932, 1933. And now they are the cause of the derivatives crisis because they're the ones who inflicted derivatives on the world with Alan Greenspan. And these are the people who claim to be the saviors of the economy, the people who have created every important crisis in the past 100 years, the Federal Reserve. So it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, and it's a failure. And I think the failure is what everybody can see right now. Up until about the Kennedy assassination and the beginning of the war in Vietnam, the United States is a very powerful engine for world progress. It's the assassinations, the Kennedy assassination, and the others in the 1960s, the beginning of the Vietnam War, and the beginning of the absolute domination of the Wall Street group over every other interest. Nobody else counts except the Wall Street money masters. That has now made the United States into no longer a force for progress, but something very different, often a force for destruction in the world. We easily could do, make the United States a force for progress in the world, which we easily could do if we could just break the power of the people behind Obama.
The main banks of Europe, which were started by Adam Weishaupt and Rothschild, the Banque Nationale de Paris, the Bank of England, the Bank of Italy, have all financed the messianic and war leaders of the last 200 years. Napoleon, Lenin, Stalin. They backed Adolf Hitler. They backed Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And they are backing right now Barack Obama.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering. Unjustified.
Paulson has, in the meantime, admitted that the subprime mortgage crisis is not the cause, really, of the breakdown of the entire world banking system and the bankruptcy of most of the banks in London and in in Wall Street. He said, oh, we're going to buy up toxic assets, but we're not going to worry about subprime mortgages. What he's talking about is derivatives. Derivatives are the center of the crisis. The notion of anthropogenic global warming is a fraud. In other words, the idea that the planet is getting warmer and that human activity is somehow responsible is a pseudoscientific fraud. It's a big lie. It's a monstrosity. Remember the Nazis, they had race science, race hygiene. They said Aryan blood is different from any other kind of blood. This was, of course, idiocy, a fantastic piece of nonsense. Today, we've got something similar. Global warming caused by human activity, and the answer to that is carbon tax plus cap and trade, according to the wishes of Al Gore, Prince Charles, and basically the entire world banking community, the world oligarchy. What they're trying to do with that is to perpetuate the current system where bankers rule the world, financiers rule the world, and the rest of us get the crumbs from the table. But remember, if you try to put on cap and trade and a global warming carbon tax with the idea that you're going to save the polar bears, what you're going to do is destroy human society. You're going to cause genocide on a massive scale. The deaths will be measured in the hundreds of millions and indeed in the billions. Just the idea of global warming means that there'll be no development for Africa, no development for the poorer parts of Southeast Asia, and no world economic recovery of any kind ever in our entire lifetime. So it's important to expose and fight the pseudoscientific fraud of global warming. One more point about this. You don't need a climatologist to know that this stuff is a fraud. I'm a historian. I can tell you, in the last 1,000 years, we had a period of very warm temperatures called the medieval warm period, where all kinds of grapes and semi-tropical stuff were growing very far into the northern hemisphere. That was about 1100, 1200. It happened to correspond with an all-time maximum of sunspots. Right now, we can say that we're going into another maximum period where there'll be some warming, but we're well within the limits of the medieval warm period. About 1600 to 1650, there was an ice age in northern Europe. The North Sea was filled with ice. The German and Dutch ports and the English ports were filled with ice. That corresponds to an all-time minimum of sunspot activity, the Spurer minimum and the Maunder minimum. So this has largely got to do with solar activity. We can see that other planets, not just the Earth, are warming slightly as a result of increased solar activity. But we're well within the minimum. So what the oligarchs claim to be an open and shut scientific case is a piece of pseudoscientific nonsense, and it should be rejected.
And as we all know that have watched these things, they're ready for the riots, with these detention centers that are being opened up around the country, with state police training for riot control in the event of economic calamity and food riots. They know what's going on, and they're prepared for it. So people better also prepare for it themselves. Anyone that's not prepared for what's going to happen, they deserve what they get, because there's enough information out there pointing to the problem. And they should take all precautionary actions.
Well, we don't have to look back thousands or even hundreds of years to see how dangerous this present-day situation is. We can look back to Bolshevik Russia. We can see the takeover by the Bolsheviks talking about the People's Revolution, talking about the positive change. And Lenin came in and then Stalin. The fact is that over 40 million Russians between 1925 and 1940, good Russians, people who were Christians, people who had their own businesses, people who were educated, they were exterminated because they had their own business, because they were educated, because they believed in God's law. We can look over at Germany. Germany was in a very, very terrible economic situation. And this very charismatic leader called Adolf Hitler comes in. He makes the roads good, and he promises a better life for the people. And within 10 years, you see a completely nationalized, centralized, dictatorial situation where millions and millions of people were exterminated. And then we can go to Maoist China. Mao came in, he promised change, he promised a better life, and within 5 years, 60 million Chinese were exterminated. They don't teach that. They don't teach that in the schools these days. And it wasn't that long ago. And I pray to God that this will not happen in the United States.
Greatness could arise. One thing America has more than any other country is an entrepreneurial spirit. One thing we have more than any other country is the ability to be innovators. You know, if I was born in Italy, I wouldn't be the trend forecaster I am today because I would have been locked into a culture of thinking one way. We have that freedom of expression and freedom of thought that could free us.
Yeshua showed us the way as the perfect example to his disciples. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. To obey and to seek to do the will of God is what we must do. Trust and obey. There is no other way. To all who have been given faith, I would say to strive to press through that strait gate and examine your own self daily by the disciplined reading of the Word of God, by His Holy Spirit of truth, to see that you are in the faith. Are we in His kingdom? His way or my way? He must increase, and I must decrease. Part of my blessed hope is to be with you in the 1,000-year Sabbath Millennium Celebration in the 3,600-square-mile big church of the firstborn, like in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48 describes, which will be established with the return of King Yeshua on Mount Zion. If you are disciplined in the daily reading of His Word, with the intent to turn at the excellent oil of the reproof of His Holy Spirit of truth, I expect to meet you there. Sadly, we live in the midst of an unreprovable generation. They're unreprovable, and it's a generation, an unreprovable generation. So the question is, what do we do, Brother Jim? I'm going to give you 10 things. Number one, get on a disciplined, daily, KJV only, the only Holy Bible. Get on a disciplined, daily reading schedule and stay on it. That's number one. It has to start there, brethren, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, watch what's happening in Jerusalem. With Psalm 83 as part of your daily prayers for the peace in Jerusalem. Be ready to flee the city when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies. You must hear His voice by His word, being quickened by His Spirit to bloom where you are planted, being ready to go and do as He tells you. Kindling your heart. Stronger love for your Jewish brethren soon to be, your brethren soon to be, when God removes the veil. Because it's soon, brethren. Their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament.
which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Number 3, brethren, fight covetousness with all your might. Fight covetousness. I had not known sin, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Fight covetousness with all your might. Be prepared to give up all that you have and be prepared to share whatever you have with those in need. Do not gather anything to survive unless your motivation and your reason and your purpose is to share it with those in need. Number 4, get out of debt. The borrower is servant to the lender. You do not have freedom to serve the Lord when you are in debt. Pray and somehow stay free of debt and practice saying no to self. Number 5, do not sit under the teaching of any minister who does not preach and teach from the KJV, the King Jesus Version, the authorized and only Holy Bible, the God-promised perfect one. Do not use any other Bible. No exceptions for Hebrew names Bibles either. Number 6. Be ready to leave the apostate 501c3 church as soon as you hear his voice saying Revelation 18:4 to you. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Until then, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Always being ready, though, to hear his voice telling you to come out of her. For the time of Revelation 22:11 is at hand, when you will know by his Holy Spirit of truth that he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Number 7, permanently stay disconnected from network television. Permanently stay disconnected from network TV. And I ask you, are you spending 2 hours reading the KJV Holy Bible for every hour you may be spending surfing the net or reading other things? Number 8, eat wisely and trust God rather than the sorcery of the local medicine man and his drugs. Number 9, know that for which we must forbear for the sake of unity, and that for which we must earnestly contend. Gather with the people of God, though they be few in number and persecuted and an evil spoken of minority. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And finally, number 10, fear not. Fear not. Get a good concordance and study that little two-word expression, fear not. It's not optional, brethren. Fear not. We're commanded by the Lord over and over and over. And we live in fearful times. Men's hearts are literally going to fail for fear of the things coming upon this earth. But the command of our God is fear not. Learn the fear of God, and let not your heart be troubled. Learn submission to God and the principles and tactics of spiritual warfare. And you can't learn or teach spiritual warfare from any Bible other than the King James Version, the authorized KJV, the King Jesus Version, Holy Bible. The principles and tactics of spiritual warfare have either been removed or so watered down, you just simply cannot teach or learn the principles and tactics of spiritual warfare from any other Bible. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. Those 10 things. You want me to go through them one more time? All right, I will. Number one, get on a disciplined daily KJV only Holy Bible reading schedule and stay on it. That's number one. No ifs, ands, buts about it. That's number one, to get on a disciplined daily KJV only Holy Bible reading schedule and stay on it. Number two, watch what's happening in Jerusalem. Pray Psalm 83 as part of your daily prayers for the peace in Jerusalem. And be ready to flee the city when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies. You must hear his voice. And that's why you've got to be reading his word on a disciplined basis every day. You must hear his voice by his word being quickened by his spirit. To bloom where we're planted. Being ready to go and do as he tells us. And we must kindle in our heart stronger love for our Jewish brethren soon to be when God removes that veil. Number three, fight covetousness with all your might. Be prepared to give up all that you have and be prepared to share whatever you have with those in need. Do not gather anything to survive unless you are 100% motivated to share it with those in need. Because if you're gathering it to survive, that's self, and you'd be better off not having it. Number four, get out of debt. The borrower is servant to the lender. You do not have freedom to serve the Lord when you're in debt. Pray and stay free of debt, and practice saying no to self. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Learn to praise God no matter what. Learn to make the sacrifice of praise. Number five, do not sit under the teaching of any minister who does not preach and teach from the KJV Holy Bible. Just don't do it. And if they use any other Bible, and there are no exceptions for the Hebrew Names Bibles, if they use any Bible other than the KJV, do not sit under their teaching ministry. Number six, be ready to leave the apostate 501c3 church just as soon as you hear his voice saying, Revelation 18:14, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Number seven, permanently stay disconnected from network television. Make sure you're spending 2 hours reading the KJV Holy Bible for every hour that you may be spending surfing the net or reading other things. Number eight, eat wisely and trust God rather than the sorcery of the local medicine man and his drugs. Number nine, know that for which we may forbear for the sake of unity and that for which we must earnestly contend. Gather with the people of God and they will be few in number. And they will be persecuted, and they will be an evil spoken of minority. But don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And number 10, fear not. Learn the fear of God, and let not your heart be troubled. Learn submission to God and the principles and tactics of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah.
Now, here is that word of prophecy from David Wilkerson. Don't miss this. David Wilkerson went home to glory on the same day that Obama released that bogus birth certificate proving that he is the ineligible one on April 27th, 2011. David Wilkerson was a faithful man of God with a proven prophetic ministry. Don't miss this. David Wilkerson's vision was of fires raging through New York City. He said it will engulf the whole megaplex, including areas of New Jersey and Connecticut. Major cities all across America will experience riots and blazing fires, such as we saw at Watts in Los Angeles years ago. There will be riots and fires in the cities worldwide. There will be looting, including Times Square, New York City. What we are experiencing now is not a recession, not even a depression. We are under God's wrath. In Psalm 11, it is written, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Wilkerson was the founding pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, where he launched a ministry to gang members and drug addicts in 1958. A highly regarded mentor to other pastors in evangelical circles, and he travels the world holding conferences for other Christian ministries. His work in New York in the 1950s and 60s led to the formation of Teen Challenge, a nationwide ministry to reach out to people with life-controlling habits. Teen Challenge has grown to include 173 residential programs and numerous evangelism outreach centers in the United States and 241 centers in 77 other countries. The program claims a recovery rate of 86%. The story of Wilkerson's first 5 years of ministry in New York is told in The Cross and the Switchblade, a book he co-authored in 1963. The book became a best-selling phenomenon, and more than 15 million copies have been distributed in over 30 languages. David Wilkerson, in this prophecy, says, "God is judging the raging sins of America and the nations." He said, "God is destroying the secular foundations." Wilkerson urges everyone to stockpile a 30-day supply of food and other necessities to deal with the catastrophe that he sees. I'm going to say it again. Wilkerson is urging everyone to stockpile a 30-day supply of food and other necessities to deal with the catastrophe that he sees. "I do not know when," he said, "that these things will come to pass, but I know that it's not far off." Wilkerson concluded in his message by saying, "I have unburdened my soul to you. Do with the message as you choose. I hope that you will not fail to take heed of this word of warning from a faithful prophet of God, David Wilkerson. Choose faith. Don't go the way of rebellion, because all you're going to end up with is destruction and fear and despair. Don't go that way. Choose faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, "When we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh." Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.